Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow, what a week of basketball. I sound sarcastic, and that's a shame because I'm actually excited, but I've just got a sarcastic sounding voice. Welcome to Advanced Analytics. My name's Guy Williams. I'm joined by my brother, Paul Williams.
Hello.
And my spiritual brother, JT.
Hello.
Is that all you guys got to add to the conversation?
Well, yeah, yep. That bit.
You got more coming up in the future?
I didn't advertise great hellos, did I? I never said to you, Guy, let me on your podcast because I'm so good at that first 2 seconds.
It's time for Advanced Analytics. JT, you just mentioned your fantasy season, and I was like, oh, I forgot to put Fantasy Forest into the show, and then you immediately said, don't ask me about fantasy, and then I'm like, I've got to ask this guy about fantasy. What's going wrong?
Well, all I was thinking, because I said last week I'd check back in a week's time when I'll have the results, whether I would have won or lost, but the reason, I don't want to talk about it because there's a lot of bad blood between me, ESPN, the purveyor of my league, and my finals opponent.
You're an amateur. Everyone knows you go Yahoo Fantasy Sports every time.
Now, I've always hated the guys that go on about Yahoo, but now I see why.
You see, it's just competent. That's the thing.
It's
works.
It's so bad. ESPN sucks, and they've screwed me over.
So you reckon that bugs in the app have stuffed you?
Yeah. I benched Kristaps Porzingis in favor of Miles Turner, and it's on the app. It displayed that Miles was in my starting lineup, but the desktop, it never sent the message to the desktop.
Oh, man, in the final, you've got to double check.
It cost me a steal. And then I've somehow got screwed over by dropping Gary Harris, which may or may not be my fault.
What do you mean?
Well, I think I just dropped him accidentally.
Okay.
Yeah, that's less the app's fault.
Okay.
But anyway, the Hokey Pokey Cats, after an incredible first week, they're in a tailspin.
Oh no!
Yeah.
So in the grand final.
In the grand final, and just I don't know. Just pray for the Cats.
Pray for the Hokies.
But one good thing though is a lot of people have contacted me about the t-shirts. So Paul needs to loop in with you on that for the design.
Yeah.
Oh, we're designing Hokey Pokey Cats.
Well, I was thinking
t-shirts.
We might as well design them even if we lose. You know how we talked about. And we can send them over to Africa.
Okay.
We can send them to bloody...
good news, while we're in the forest, my team's really coming right at the right time of the year.
Jesus. Paul, you always... Whenever JT sounds exciting, your team's boring as shit.
It's coming
every week.
Playoffs are coming up.
And whenever I ask you for a tip or an interesting tidbit about fantasy, you just say, I can't talk about it because you've got insider secrets.
No, there's people from my league who listen to the podcast.
No, there's not.
Whereas I use this platform to personally attack people that... in my league.
Yeah, it's a better way to do it. But holy heck, I'm backing on the NBA, guys. It's been exciting. It's time for the Week in Review.
Week in Review.
Lakers have been crowned. They've beat the Bucks. They've beat the Clippers. LeBron James checked out of the game, and Kyle Kuzma... Is his name? His name Kyle?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it shouldn't
it's
be Kyle.
His name's Kyle.
Yeah, I actually thought that today because I was searching for someone in fantasy... And he came up and I was like, oh, weird, his name's Kyle.
Yeah, and he put an imaginary crown on LeBron's head to say, you the king, and let's be honest, guys, it's a little bit hard to argue against that at this point.
Lakers are fool's gold.
You said that about the Bucks too.
Also
both
fool's
are
gold.
The Bucks are fool's gold. But I don't think the Lakers
now, Paul,
are fool's gold.
Last week you came on the pod, you said the Bucks were fool's gold, okay, and I asked you why, and you said the vibe. Why are the Lakers
the Lakers are more
gold?
I'm going to come out and say they're more fool's gold than the Bucks.
Oh.
Well, that's crazy, because the Bucks are not proven, but LeBron James is proven.
Yeah.
So I watched the game, and I just as I was coming around and after years go, hey, this is the Bucks' year, they're going to do it, they're an amazing team. They've really let me down. I mean, they're slipping. They lost to the Suns, for goodness sake. But it could be because Giannis may be seriously injured, we're not sure. But, I mean, regardless of who they're missing, they should be able to beat the Suns. the 1-2 punch in those two games versus the Clippers, and I don't, don't get me wrong, I mean, the Bucks, if they'd shot a bit better, could have been the Lakers. The Clippers, if they'd been a bit better down the fourth quarter, could have beaten the Lakers. But there was pretty convincing wins by the Lakers in the end. That 1-2 punch is pretty amazing. And if you guard LeBron on the perimeter, he can blow by anyone, as he's shown. And AD and LeBron are basically proving it's either a layup or a free throw for them. And I don't know why teams aren't forcing LeBron to shoot the three, but maybe they respect him out there. So as a result, he's just getting to the rim. And yeah, I gotta be honest with you, the Lakers, you'd have to say they're in the number one spot right now.
I would say that.
That's a fact. They are in the number one spot.
No, the Bucks are number one, aren't they?
Oh, well, the West. Number one in the West. Two conferences.
Mm. Well, but the number one team in the NBA, just for a fact, is the Bucks.
Nice insight, though. There are two.
Okay, so the battle of LA was huge, and it's the first time the healthy Clippers have lost a game with their full team. And my first question has to go towards, do they have enough defense? Because they're supposed to be a great defensive team, and it just seems like out there they've got a lot of players who just can't defend LeBron, and LeBron's just switching onto them and going to work kind of thing.
So two questions. So did you watch the Clippers-Lakers game?
Yes.
So Morris guarded LeBron a lot, right? Which I thought was weird.
Yeah.
But my second point is Patrick Beverley cool?
Cause I think he's cool.
But after that game when they were like, what's it like? And he's like, no challenge.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're sort of losing me here.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Well, he's cool in like a comedy douche kind of way.
Basically, he's sort of, you know, like in TV shows, the concept of Flanderization?
No, what is that?
So you know how Flanders in The Simpsons became like, was sort of a three-dimensional character and became more and more two-dimensional and just a parody of himself?
Yeah.
But because he was like a secondary character, it didn't really dilute from anything?
Yeah, okay. So
Patrick Beverley's just Flanderizing himself.
Yeah, but I think that's the way he is, though. Because Russell Westbrook's very similar as well, where it seems like he's a parody of a tough guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm on the fence, really. I'm not sure. I've always kind of liked Patrick. I've had a love-hate with Patrick Beverley, where I love him, but then, yeah, I think maybe watching that, I was like, it didn't really make sense after a loss to talk like that.
So there's
no challenge. It's like, why didn't you win?
Yeah, that's my point. I like it after.
Yeah, after a win, go for it.
But also, in the heat of a game afterwards, I don't put much stock in those after-the-game interviews. Like, the game's just happened, you're passionate about it, you're pissed you lost, and they want you to kiss LeBron's ass, and so he did the opposite. And it's like, he could have said no comment, but he's like, ain't no coward, you know?
Okay, you wanted me back over to PBiv.
Yeah. I just like him as like a parody character.
I like him as well.
I do feel bad that he interviewed injured Russell Westbrook. I know he plays hard, but like Russell Westbrook's never had an injury, and a few years ago when he took him out of the Thunder, like in one of what should have been one of their title runs. Pretty sad. But I must say that obviously there's a three horse race now. We'll get to Rocket Man soon and I cannot wait.
Wait, are they one of your horses?
No. So they're
Magic,
falling off.
The Houston Rockets and who?
Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, right.
No, it's clearly Lakers, Bucks, Clippers. Three teams, right? They're
disagree,
at the
top. Strong disagree.
What?
Also. Yeah. They're way off. You're not looking at the vibes.
Okay. Well, tell me about the vibes.
I actually think the Bucks are not even top five.
What?
Yeah, I reckon the Raptors and the Heat will beat
the Raptors.
You've been listening to a lot of Paul Williams takes.
And, you know, I'm a big Heat man now. My Bam Adebayo jersey arrived, so I'm all in on the Heat.
Before the jersey, were you on the Heat train?
I was at the station.
I'm a big Pacers guy.
No.
Just as JT comes around to your Raptors theory and dropping the Bucks, you go even lower.
Yeah.
I will say this.
Paul's like, I'm like, oh no, I'm becoming too mainstream. JT's getting on board.
No, Jeremy Lamb is out for the year.
I'm feeling the Brooklyn
really
Nets, man. They've got a new coach, new direction.
Do they have a new coach?
No.
Let's talk new coach.
They've currently, we'll I think, soon. Interim coach might be Jacques Vaughn, ex-Magic coach. Oh my God. Famously terrible.
What's Jack Vaughn's per 36 coaching stats like?
No idea. I doubt not good. Well, no, I doubt good.
Okay, there's 20 games left in the season. It's almost over. I'm so excited. The playoffs is almost a month away. 19th of April is when they start. Okay, JT, give me your big three.
Big three?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Lakers are number one.
Yeah.
I think the Toronto Raptors have to be number three.
Okay.
And out of order, completely out of order, I'm going number two, the Denver Nuggets.
Wait.
Preach.
You seem like you just came up with that right there. Am I right?
Yeah, big time.
That's shocking analysis. And I can't believe this because, JT, you were brought on the show to steady the ship and provide a bit of intelligence. So after that bullshit, I can't believe to right the ship, I have to turn to my brother who's leaning back in the chair like he's had a few too many drinks. He's got a microphone slung over his face. And I'm embarrassed to ask, Paul, who are your top three right now?
In the whole NBA.
Yeah.
To win it.
Well, just like in the mixer, because I mean, I said the Bucks, but now like when the Lakers beat them like that, you do lose faith a little bit. I'm still saying the Bucks.
So we're saying to win it all.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's not some sort of trick question, mate.
No, just
clarify. Well, who am I? The top three to finish the league in defensive propensity. I don't know. Go.
Toronto Raptors.
Number one.
Yeah, great.
Oh,
thank you.
I didn't know it was in order.
Yeah, you don't do it in order. Everyone knows you don't do it in order.
You did
in order.
You did in order. You did 1, 3, 2.
No, but I was like, my first one, my second one, my third one.
So your order. Okay, just yeah. Okay. Okay, in any order, give me them. Raptors. Okay.
Nuggets.
Wow.
Woo!
Okay.
Clippers.
Okay, yeah. Well, I like the Clippers. I definitely think the Clippers.
Have I seen the Nuggets or the Clippers play at all?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah. For me as well.
Okay, the Nuggets are really wavering. I think the Nuggets have got to be called Bucks West at this point, where like no, they're going to be a great regular season team. They actually slipped to the third seed because they're playing so poorly at the moment. But they're going to be a 50-win team. Jokic
also,
is an all-star.
While we're talking Nuggets, we've got to bring up today, it was waved off by a bad ref.
Dunk of the year.
Personal jinx.
Personal jinx.
No, I personal
jinxed
you.
We both
personal jinxed.
What does that mean?
First.
What does it mean if you personal jinx me, though?
You can't talk.
And what if I talk? You punch me.
Yeah.
That's assault. That's what you're saying.
No, there's a clause, a loophole, that if you've personal jinxed them, okay. It's an assault.
That's all what right. That documentary was about, the jinx.
Yeah.
JT's so proud of that one. You're also proud of just randomly saying the Nuggets is the second two.
Yeah.
And they caught him on the microphone breaking the personal jinx in the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I've just reopened my Pages document on my computer.
Yeah.
Of my preseason points-based system ranking teams.
Yeah.
And it actually did have the Bucks as the number one team.
Yeah.
Which they are, by record, they are, right?
Yes, they are.
So it predicted that.
Yeah.
But it had Philadelphia as the number two team. Wrong. It had.
So you're giving us your why are you giving us your preseason
rankings?
I've
got a lot of questions.
Well, because this ranking.
So many.
No, but a lot of people had the 76ers high at the start of the season. I did. Zach Lowe did. Paul did.
I didn't rate them that high.
Well, you had them second.
No, but this wasn't my heart. This was all numbers.
Paul,
can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
So, Pages. Am I correct in thinking that's a text-based editor on the Mac?
Correct, yes.
So is that a text-based output of a numbers-based model? Or is your numbers-based just you writing in teams with random numbers or something?
Yeah.
Why did you mention the app you did it on? Why didn't you just do it on a piece of paper? Because it said Microsoft Word.
No, not Microsoft Word.
No, Pages. Yeah. I'm aware of that.
But the Lakers didn't do that well.
I feel like you've just become a parody of yourself as JT is here now. I'm going to come out and say that the Lakers definitely have to be scary. And in the fourth quarter, just having those two good players. I don't know why.
I have no trust.
Make them shoot threes.
Here's what I'll say. Like against the Clippers, I don't think come playoff time, you can trust Avery Bradley to score 24 points.
No, you can't.
You can't trust Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to score 20 points. You can't trust...
But you might be able to trust Dwight to have a 20-point game, or the Morris brother, or
no, I just don't
Rondo
trust
to have 10
guys.
Assists. No, I feel you on that. It's just one game. But
and now Dion Waiters is in the mix.
You've got to give them some credit for just beating down the Bucks and then Clippers like that two times in a row. And this is kind of interesting.
Regular season means nothing, I think.
The battle, yeah, that's part of that too. But the Battle of LA is going to be huge, and it is... it is going to be probably them in the Western Conference Finals as the Clippers move into the second seed. And every game in Staples Center... What?
I think two-thirds of the...
No one said anything.
Two-thirds of these people believe the Nuggets will be in the final.
Yeah, but The way it's shaking down, it's going to be Clippers versus Nuggets. And you think the Nuggets will be the Clippers? I reckon the Nuggets are going to struggle to get out of the first round.
Yeah, you might be right.
They'll lose to Dallas.
I forgot about Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, new team.
New top three. Dallas won. I forgot about that team existing. Okay, Dallas aren't that good. I'm just saying they could on their if they get their ducks in a row.
I've got hot take.
I think one thing we can all agree on.
He's just he's got a hot take.
And I said one thing we can all agree on is we're very excited to hear this hot take. Take it away, JC. Okay.
Apart from Kristaps's absolute stinker he dialed in on that day where ESPN screwed me over, I feel like Kristaps is not better, but is more useful to the Mavs have a better chance of winning with Kristaps than Luka, and it's not even close.
So what is your point?
That Kristaps is more effectual in terms of winning than Luka is right now for the Mavs.
Okay.
Porzingis, I think, has become underrated, right?
Way underrated. He's such a good rim protector.
Also, I had no idea it's not in feet, but 2 meters 21.
Yeah, he's massive.
I don't know what that is in heat, in feet, but let's all agree.
It's tall.
That's way taller than I thought. He's very tall.
I'm a freak, and I'm 1.98 meters, so he's like 24 centimeters taller
than
me.
He is
7'3". Wow.
One thing I really respect about Kristaps as well is...
This Google being the official Google. Continue.
When we were there at that Mavs game, we noticed he was wearing a navy blue check shirt and suit with a white shirt combo.
Yeah.
I thought, that's quite a cool look. It's quite a nice suit. He wears that suit like 80% of games. That's very uncommon for the NBA, but so I like that sort of frugality.
Yeah.
Mm. I respect it.
He's got his one suit.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's all you need.
I wonder if NBA players just get given their clothes for free. Do you think?
Nah. Maybe some clothes, but not suits.
Yeah,
Do you reckon, you know how Apple, we're getting way off topic here, Apple, the computer company, kind of claims they don't do endorsements or anything like that kind of thing. They're like the opposite of Beats by Dre, which is ironically also owned by Apple, but that's how Beats by Dre became big, right? It's literally in the title, there's an endorsement, and like every... they did Richie McCaw in New Zealand, they did LeBron James in America, they did probably Messi or someone in Spain. Apple, I'm sure, must have paid all the NBA players to switch to earbuds, right? Because they're all wearing other branded headphones that they were given or sponsored with, and they all switched to Apple earbuds. And I'm like, that can't be just a coincidence.
Yeah, because the only reason you wear... I do have earbuds, and they are a convenient, good product.
I use them too.
But the reason that most people...
Get that higher quality.
I thought they looked stupid when they came out, but then it just took 3 NBA players wearing them to a game and I was on board.
So that's what I'm saying, exactly.
I noticed them. Mike Conley, Mark Gasol reunion. Did you see that? Them hugging and acting all friendly.
Beautiful.
Mike Conley didn't bother to take out his earpods for the reunion.
Did they tap earpods so they could share what song they're listening to?
Oh, that's a cool feature.
Yeah. Don't know if it's real. Believe it is.
That was an app I designed way back. So this was iPod days.
Yeah, shout out to
iPod. So it was
iPod.
Before streaming had really, had even really come out. And my idea was for an app for your iPod and you'd add your friends. And so say you start playing a song, it would say you're online. So it would be like, say we all were friends together.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to a song. Listening to Imagine by John Lennon. I was going to say Legend, John Lennon. Then you might go on your, or you might get a notification saying, Paul is online, and you'll click on my name and you can listen in live time to what I'm playing.
That
was my big idea. Obviously,
does it exist on Spotify? You can share playlists at least, right?
Yeah.
Like you make your players public.
There must be something to do like silent discos and stuff, right? Where like one person's DJing for everyone, but they're wearing headphones or whatever.
Yeah, anyway. I don't want
people to know what shocking music I'm listening to.
Yeah. No, obviously you could go on private mode and stuff. Yeah.
That's pretty funny having a private mode because you're embarrassed. What embarrassing music are you listening to, JT?
So during the day, I'm switching between real top of the pops country.
Ooh.
And like real bad UK drill.
Do you know the song?
Wait, we're going to ask what drill is.
Drill's like trap, but UK trap. But
okay, we're going to ask what trap is.
Trap's like...
I've heard of trap, but I'm not really aware of it.
Trap's just like southern, I guess, the southern beats rap.
You don't know either, do you?
I think that's called trap. I'm pretty sure. I know like artists.
I know trap, but...
Yeah. Name a trap artist, Paul.
I feel like early trap was like, I would think like...
T.I.
Futures
Trap.
Yeah.
T.I. did
when
name,
I,
like,
when I first started like hearing it, I feel like it was like Wacka Flocka Flame. Like
Little Uzi Vert.
Real fast.
Little Uzi Vert.
Real fast hi-hats that you could never play on an actual drum kit.
And if someone's going skirt, that's the Dead Gavin giveaway. Hey, okay. So just on that John Legend point, though, and so I was...
We're spiraling here, guys. We've got so many tangents.
This is a good spiral.
Okay.
So I was sitting on Queen Street, just off Queen Street waiting for a bus one night after a late night slaving away at work. And a young couple walked past me holding hands. I thought, oh, young love. And they were sort of dawdling. They must have been waiting for a bus as well. And, it doesn't matter what gender each one of them was, but one of them said to the other, I'm a huge John Lennon fan. And I was like, oh, that's quite cool. They seem quite young to be into John Lennon. And the other one said, oh, really? That's really cool. And the John Lennon fan said, yeah, I was just gutted because I had tickets to his concert last year, but I couldn't go. And the like guy, the other person did like a full neck turn, like record scratch. And I was just like, is this person going to say anything? Like, you could tell how many dates they'd been on by the fact he just let it slide.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I was thinking, good on you. And then I was thinking, who could it be? And it's just clicked.
John Legend.
It was John Legend.
Yeah, who would have come to Auckland recently. Who's a huge John Lennon fan, though? That's weird.
What, John Lennon?
Oh, there's a lot of big John Lennon
When you say
fans.
John Lennon fan, do you mean you're a fan of the Beatles songs that he reportedly wrote?
No, I think there's those couple of John Lennon solo albums and the one with Yoko critically acclaimed.
There'd be so many John Lennon
fans. Yeah, huge.
I don't reckon... Okay, name three John Lennon songs, go.
Imagine?
Yes.
Half the Beatles ones?
No, you can't name Beatles.
I know so many. Are we including the...
I can name two.
There's another really famous one. What are your ones?
I was going to say Imagine and Working Class Hero.
Working Class Hero? Is that a John Lennon song?
I had his the big triple album they released after his death or whatever. I like Working Class
Hero. Getting on the spot about songs.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry to be an asshole. And you can't remember the names of songs. I hate when you wear a band T-shirt and people like start quizzing you about it, like what's your favorite.
I'm not in a John Lennon T-shirt right now.
He's wearing a John Lennon Imagine T-shirt. The point is, I was just like, John Lennon's solo career, I think, is really overrated because everyone just loves that one song and then doesn't know anything else by him.
Working Class Hero is one. Now, there's one I'm thinking of.
There's a lot of talking of John Lennon, but what about John Henson? NBA player, let's bring it back.
Oh, I thought that was I think of Jim Henson, the guy who did
the Muppets. No,
yeah.
I'm trying to bring us back to
R.I.P. to Jim Henson, though.
Yeah, R.I.P. One of the all-time geniuses.
Okay. Back to basketball. The Lakers, their prize for being what I thought was on top of the NBA period, the pyramid, is they win the jewel in the crown of free agency, Deion Waiters.
Oh, my boy.
Is back. They couldn't hold him down. First, the NBA tried to suspend him for being 10 kgs overweight. PC gone mad. Body shaming.
Did the NBA try and suspend him?
Oh, well, the Miami Heat did, who are just
they're
puppets
all bloody
of
reptilians.
The NBA. Yeah. And then they tried to kick him out of the NBA because he overdosed on edibles.
I don't think they were kicking
him out. On a private jet.
They were
ridiculous.
Trying to kick him out.
And then the man tries to crush him. But just because he missed a game sick and then posted photos of himself on a yacht for his birthday on Instagram. It's PC gone mad.
Yeah,
they've been holding him down for too long and he's free. He got to Memphis, he got free, and somehow Deion Waiters, the genius he is, a player who's never really been good, always been based on potential, has fallen upwards into the hottest team in the NBA, in the best city in the NBA. It's crazy. Am I right? Am I wrong?
You're
right.
You're 100% right.
It's unbelievable.
There's only one thing you're wrong about.
What?
The NBA wasn't trying to screw Deion Waiters.
Well, the Heat were.
Deion Waiters was screwing the Heat. It's all planned. Yeah. He put a post on. He's the only one of the only two NBA. I only follow Markelle Fultz, obviously.
Obviously.
And Deion Waiters on Instagram.
Good follow.
And he is an incredible follow.
FTG.
And today he made a post sort of insinuating that was the case, then backed it up with like three selfies of him just in cool outfits, then a video of him watching Richie Rich with the caption, "Classic Richie Rich."
Manny's interesting, eh? he's so interesting. I must say, when he got picked up by the Lakers, everyone was just posting an NBA 2K15 in story mode. A lot of the players voiced, you could play as the Cleveland Cavaliers, and all the Cleveland Cavaliers voiced dialogue that you could play in like in story mode. And he basically couldn't read.
People find it funny,
and it is funny for the first 2 minutes, and then you're like, this is just really sad.
Have you read his Players Tribune from a few years ago?
No.
Oh, it's by far one of the best. It's really, really good.
I assume that the players write very little
about it. But regardless, his story is cool, and his story is basically, yeah, like, I'm arrogant, or I always think that I'm the best, but that's because how could I've got out of the situation I was in without believing I was special, basically, or believing I could do the impossible.
Yeah, but at the same time, his NBA career so far has been an amazing talent who just seems to be wasted, and like I can't imagine it getting any better. He seems like an idiot.
No, but I think it's almost like surgeons, right?
He had $1.7 million worth of fines this year already.
But I'm telling you, that's all 4D chess he's playing. But it's like it's like certain people, to be like a gunner, right? To be a Dion Waiters-style gunner, that's your biggest skill, that you can create offense in the face of no offense.
Yeah.
And that you can just go in and get a bucket, but it doesn't matter you shoot 35 or 40%.
Yeah.
But to have that mentality, you have to be extremely arrogant and keep that confidence or arrogance in the face of all the evidence coming against you.
Yeah, but there's a combination between like confidence. There's a difference between confidence and just like
and Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah. And he's definitely leading towards stupidity. But you claim that this is a genius plan. You reckon he intentionally forced his way out of the team using edible marijuana to get to a contender, and he got to the number one team.
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to play. They were already at the start of the season. The Heat wasn't going to play him.
Yeah, okay.
So I think he forced his way out.
He does look bad. He looks in bad. I mean, Zion's changed the standard of what looks bad. But, like, I mean, hey, body positivity. Shout out to Dion.
Big difference between Dion and Zion.
But well, you're saying Zion's worse.
Is there one letter?
One letter, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And the same surname letter.
Oh, my
Dion
God.
W, Zion W.
Lakers have put together a team that I can't even imagine. I don't even want to say this as a joke. I'm just like, they have all the novelty players now. All of them. Even LeBron now is like Taco Tuesday.
There must be
a bit of
some novelty player they don't have.
They've got Dwight, Rondo. Dwight, like the famous, the fart joke guy, lovable idiot. Rondo, the guy who spat in a guy's face in a game. JaVale McGee, the Shaqting a Fool MVP. And just the other day on the Lakers Jumbotron, they asked him who the funniest player on the Lakers was. And he said, me. That's weird.
Wait, who said that?
And they've got Caruso. I mean, it's
hey, don't Caruso.
He's a meme, though. He's a meme.
Not intentionally. He's just trying his hardest.
No.
Well, he's just a white balding guy.
Yeah, who's playing on the Lakers. It's cool. And any player on the Lakers gets made a meme. But these guys were memes independently, and they've come together. Mm. And now to get Dion. I mean,
they're just J.R. Smith away from the full.
They still had Lance Stephenson.
He's coming back too. Pace is interested in him, but the point is, like, it's amazing how many the Lakers have on one team. And I mean, if they can make something out of it, there must be one novelty player
somewhere else.
I think Lakers have collected all of them.
They've
got a gauntlet.
There must be like a big man.
Like, I think Kyle Kuzma is like a novelty guy, but he's just like too young to be novelty.
Well, Lakers also make, so Caruso and Kuzma are players that, because the Lakers are so famous.
I feel like Kuzma makes himself. That hair.
Yeah, he's got to shave it, eh?
I mean, Beverly's bordering on novelty.
No, but he's not, though. I would say maybe, who's the Turkish big man who's been kicked out of Turkey? Real sad.
What about Kanter
is banter.
They need Boban.
Boban.
And Taco.
What, Robin Lopez, would he be up there with that hair?
No, but like, in terms of like the guys who aren't just famous for being freakishly tall.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty amazing stuff. But I'm obsessed with the Lakers, obviously. We should move on.
Maybe they need Kyrie.
Yeah, but like they got all the main ones. Yeah. Kyrie has value.
Kyrie's too good to be true meme.
Taco 4 might have value. Like the secret to the Lakers ones are they all players who are like heading out of the NBA, and LeBron grabbed them by the scruff of the neck and said, "Get back in here, son." Whereas I believe in you, and they're like, "You do?" And it's like,
didn't he spend years saying to Dion Waiters, "I do not believe in you"?
Yeah, and he's it's pretty cool. It's cool to see. You love to see it.
Let's move on.
Well, the Nets. Yes. This is speaking of narratives. The whole year, people have been waiting for the Nets to implode. They're like, Kyrie's toxic, KD's a snake, things are going bad. And it seemed impossible because Kyrie was constantly injured. KD's been out for the whole season. How do you mess with that? How do you become a locker room toxic presence? How do you stuff this up? They've finally given the people the narrative they want. They've fired the coach without even playing a game for him. It's crazy. Yep, you guys are going to pick out.
Oh,
that?
Yeah, sorry. Right. So I thought there's a question.
To me,
I thought there's a question coming, like more of a prompt.
Well, what do you guys think of the Nets firing the coach?
So I just want to go straight. Can I get straight into my conspiracy theory?
Yeah, get right in there, mate.
So I believe that Kenny Atkinson was fired for not supporting athlete veganism.
That is a rumor.
I've heard a rumor that Beyond Meat's about to sign up as the Nets main sponsor.
Because they're investors, aren't they?
Yeah, and that they're going to be the shirt sponsor
like the
next year.
What?
Yeah, and that Atkinson he doesn't hate veganism. He just doesn't reckon it's responsible for athletes.
What? Oh, because the thing is with athletes, they need so much protein and so much fat.
Yeah.
And vegan diet makes it hard to get enough protein, right?
Yeah, that's the scoop.
Wow.
I'm just quickly
finding the scoop now.
Where's the scoop come from?
I've got people that...
I saw something online that was about that.
But it's just weird that, like, I guess if you're just waiting for a narrative to happen, if you're waiting for Dwight to be a goofball, eventually he is going to be a goofball. And it's like, the Nets have been pretty... I guess they've been with Kyrie, like, it just seems like he ruined the chemistry straight away. But I'm surprised they managed to fire the coach in season. It's such weird timing as well. Like, not early, not the All-Star break. Like, close to a playoff run. It just seems like a
one
pretty
thing I will say
situation.
Is I went to a lot of Nets games this year.
You were an insider, pretty much.
And they were kind of frustrating.
Very frustrating.
Like, I know they were without their two best players, and for a lot of it, their three best players, with Caris LeVert also being injured for a big portion of it.
Mm.
But they were still just very frustrating, just choking in key moments.
But Paul, you're bucking, they didn't have a lot of talent. You're bucking the trend, which this is playing right to Kyrie is... a sickness, right? He's come into the Nets who last year were a beautiful overachieving team.
I'm a huge
he's poisoned them.
I'm a huge advocate for Kyrie being a sickness, but I also just want to say that the Nets, I loved them last year, and this year I found them a bit frustrating.
He was the coach last year.
I know.
Kyrie came in and changed that. People are saying that not starting DeAndre Jordan is maybe the reason.
Yeah,
why?
There's so many different reasons people are saying. Veganism, that.
No, veganism is not a credible mainstream theory.
No, I read it online.
Yeah.
I read it online.
It's online.
Well.
Just
because
you read it online.
It's online.
I read online the earth is flat and the vaccines cause autism.
Then it is.
It's true.
It's online.
So, look, I'm
online.
I don't eat meat, but I want to say this has got...
Are you a vegan?
Not a vegan. A vegetarian, but I have one flat white a day. But all I'm saying is this has got big vegan written all over it.
Okay. Tell me about your vegetarianism, but one flat white. What's going on there?
Oh, what can I say? I'm a bloody country boy. Can't get away from my one dose of dairy per day.
Not much milk, though. You're pretty much vegan. Is that the only vegan, only non...
I will occasionally eat an egg. But I'm just not saying I'm not strict. Like, I'll have butter to cook with every so often. But I don't eat cheese, don't eat meat.
Has it made your life awesome?
Nah, it's just the same.
Actually?
Doesn't make any difference.
Why'd you become vegan, then?
Well, I don't know. I think it's more well, it's a different factor, right? Like, I do believe philosophically it probably is murder, but and we're just brainwashed to not think.
Yeah.
But it's like different for every type of food. So I don't really feel like eating fish is murder, but I don't like industrial fishing.
Yeah.
So some's environmental, some's antibiotics, yada yada yada.
Okay. Oh, a bit of antibiotics.
Yeah,
isn't
there? I'm big on my antibiotics.
Okay.
Yeah.
So good on you for honesty though, because I cut back on my sugar, and I was like, straight away, like, you've got to cut back on sugar, guys. It'll change your life, right? And people go vegan, and they're like, you've got to become vegan, man. It'll change your life. And it's interesting you've become vegan, but you're like, I enjoy doing it. I recommend it, but it's not a huge benefit.
I've done sugar, no sugar. Like, I'm pretty much no sugar still. No, I've stopped drinking. I've done everything. Nothing makes me feel any different.
Wait, what about 2 weeks ago when you brought one beer to the podcast?
No, I'm not saying I drink now, but I've done that previously in my life. I've tried lots, and nothing's ever made me feel any different. The only thing the only thing that makes a difference is sleep.
Ooh.
And that's
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I want to say, once for a couple of weeks I went vegetarian, and I don't know if it was placebo or real, but I felt like I had more energy.
But as yeah,
I cut back on my sugar and I felt like I had a bit more energy. Like I have sugar in the evening, but I try not to have it in the day, and it means I can sustain better, I think.
Yeah.
But maybe it's psychological.
No, I think it is. That'd be real.
But you went cold turkey, no sugar for how long?
Well, forever, really.
Oh, you're still that now?
I'm not super, super strict, but I was super strict for maybe like 6-7 months.
Yeah, and you didn't notice a huge change?
No change.
Well, why'd you do it then?
But I think I wasn't that much of a sweet tooth to begin with.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I like the sleep thing. So you got a sleep theory, and what is it?
So I always thought I was getting stressed over the weight of not sleeping enough.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Yeah, but then I was like, well, this is stupid, right? Like, they just say 8 hours because that'll cover most people. Maybe I don't need 8 hours. So I did a little research. And I think, for me anyway, the thing that works the most is getting up at the same time no matter what.
Okay.
And then you're like roughly going to be at the same time, but not stressing about the amount of sleep you get. Because if you get up at the same time and you don't do stupid stuff like look at bright screens, you'll get sleepy at the right time.
Ooh, what's so stupid about looking at bright screens? Is that really stupid? Is that stupidity?
No, the whole blue light thing.
Yeah,
like
I
right before
mate,
bed.
Don't you tell me, I bought a...
Have you got those glasses?
I bought a super large... like an e-reader. Like I bought like a huge e-ink e-reader, like a massive one to read the internet on because I was like, the screens are the problem. But I just thought it was cool. I didn't actually think about the actual science behind it. So if you could give me some of that, maybe after the show, I'd be interested. Paul, do you have any sleep theories?
I have looked into alternative
sleep
cycles. So there is the, so there's the classic monophasic cycle.
What?
Are you looking at this right now, Paul?
Yeah, I haven't memorized this. But
I was impressed. You shouldn't have revealed that because I was like in on that. I was like, well,
the monophasic cycle, which is like sleep 7 to 9 hours, be awake for the rest of it. That's the most common, obviously. Then there's the biphasic cycle, which is sleep 5 to 6 hours and then have a 1.5 hour nap. Basically,
quite a long nap.
Yes, in the day.
It's quite a tough... Like, if you're an NBA player, I can imagine that a lot of NBA players...
Well, I'm going to blow your mind when I tie this all back.
He's going to tie it all back. I'm excited.
You go, Paul. I want to hear that.
A little parcel.
So that's might sound crazy, but when you think about places in kind of the Mediterranean and parts of Latin America, quite common
siesta.
To have a siesta. Hmm. And you'd find they probably are sleeping less in the night as well.
I'm a big fan of the nap as well. It's just...
Okay. Yeah, I don't nap, as a rule.
It only works if you're unemployed, really.
Then
it's the only time it works, or a professional athlete or a comedian. Yeah.
Okay. Then we have the everyman cycle, which is 3.5 hour sleep for the core, and then 3 20-minute naps spread out across the day.
How is this branded as the everyman cycle when it is most definitely the small minority of people cycle?
Such a weird.
I want to do it because it's everyman. I feel like an everyman.
Yeah, but it's such a weird pattern.
Okay. Then this might be they're getting crazier. The Diamaxian cycle, which consists of no one core, but 4 30-minute naps throughout the day, only 2 hours of sleep in total.
Isn't that torture?
Now, some genius like Leonardo da Vinci or someone tried to do that, eh?
Mm.
Like, work 2 hours, sleep 1 hour, work 2 hours,
I think
sleep 1 hour.
Da Vinci was the laziest man in history, wasn't he?
Da Vinci was.
Never finished anything.
It's just a joke.
I just read the biography on...
He finished the Mona Lisa, didn't he?
That's like the only thing he
there
finished.
Is something called
and it was actually probably something that they did on, they manufactured en masse.
What?
Yeah, so they had little studios. It wasn't like he would have done one. It's just that's the one he carried around and put the extra details on. But they would have done variations in his little studio, many of them.
Okay. I just find it hard to believe like what you're saying.
It's true.
Because before you were saying, do you honestly believe the vegan sponsor thing?
Yeah, definitely.
What site did you get that from?
I can't remember, but
it seems so.
I saw it online.
It's reputable. It's reputable.
I want to back it up. And
I just can't believe a coach would give up coaching a contender next year.
No, he didn't give it up. It was sorry. It was like I'm saying it would have been Kyrie or whoever.
But that's what I mean. I mean, like if you got a problem with Kyrie not eating the right diet, I it's not something you'd go to. As long as Kyrie's performing, you don't care what he eats.
No, but I think it was like the excuse used to fire him. Like that's what it wasn't like. It was his fault.
So why did they fire him in reality?
So the players turned on him
because they didn't like him
because of the vegan issue.
Yeah.
Also, right. See, yeah.
You yeah.
I thought you meant like he went to Sean Marks being like, "We got to stop these guys being vegan."
Yeah, kind of. Or what are you saying?
What I will say is this: the powerful veggie patty,
oh my God.
The powerful meat alternative lobbies are running the NBA. Here's an article from Sports Illustrated, beyond endorsing how veggie burgers became the NBA's new Gatorade. They are running the game. They are funded by NBA players. There's even a caricature of Kyrie Irving handing out a veggie burger. The NBA.
Well, I think they believe in it as well. I believe they're paid
NBA,
by it.
Is it no? Is it National Basketball Association or is it no beef allowed?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back to JT. Just for a second, tell me why Kenny Atchison was fired.
Okay, I believe that what happened was that it became a locker room issue that he wasn't supporting the vegan diet.
But what do you mean? He's like going, "Hey, you guys, I've seen you eating a lot of vegetables these days."
No, he's like pushing
cut
back.
It out.
He's more of a fan of the Atkinson diet.
Oh.
Is that a diet? It's the Atkins diet. Okay, yeah, that's close.
Anyway, I want to go back to the sleep thing. I'm about to tie it all back here. I've seen, again, online sources, that sleep is going to be the next hot issue in sport.
It already is.
No, it's like concussions in NFL. That the sleep cycle, the way that the late NBA games and the travel is actually causing ill health effects for NBA players after they retire.
What about like just normal people who work crazy schedules and have kids?
Yeah, but they're not rich.
But like I have had I've worked in places where I've had shocking sleep cycles, you know, but like,
but
you're not
having to like hype up and get your whole day and eating around, like performing it between 7 till 9. Oh,
that's literally what I do. That's literally my job sometimes. But no, like I've done like breakfast radio and like, you know, you can't get to sleep and then you got to wake up like 3 hours later.
Yeah, so I think that's an issue.
Oh, wow. So you think this is going to, what problems does it cause later in life?
So I think there's lots of lifestyle issues and there's lots of links between, I don't want to scare anyone here, but I think there's links between dementia and later life as well as just lifestyle and health issues.
Can you, this is going to sound like a massive insult to you, but can you bring sources for the stuff you say?
Sign up to that. That seems onerous.
No, no, but just like you read this crazy thing about the vegan lobby kicking out Kenny Atchison. Just if you could say like The Athletic or ESPN, even those aren't great sources. So give me something to cling on to here.
I feel like you're going to sacrifice all my great insights.
Yeah. No. I will take whatever you say. I'm just interested. And so
In
the sources. Because they you say...
Okay, I'll do 50% sources.
You say crazy stuff. Paul, you're on a dark dive and it's time to wake up, mate. Unless you've got something to say because you've been doing research
an hour. I'd like to come back to NBA.
It's that time, right about that time.
Apologies to the listeners.
For the stars to roll on out. Sit down. Why are you apologizing to the listeners? Because this segment's going to be so bad, or
no? don't talk if it started.
Ah, it started. Yeah.
Why would you split up a conversation?
Well, because you said apologies to the listeners, and I was just kind of interested in that.
Well, then you played a song over what I was going
to
say.
Do you want me to play a song again?
Nah, it's okay. I was just saying apologies for us getting so sidetracked.
I reckon I would say the opposite. I think we're more interesting when we get sidetracked.
I won't apologize for anything.
Sorry, Paul. I've got off to a bad start. I brought a negative energy.
Yeah.
You pick it off. You kick it off, mate.
Well, this was going to be the opening line. So just imagine that the music's just ended.
Biombo!
The magic is back in Central Florida.
Cool.
Yeah, well, I don't need you saying that.
I'd
written that on pages. And some would say it never went away.
JT is buckled over at your bullshit segment, man.
It's bad.
But, good. Is that literally written? Is that typed out on the page? Is that? It's, oh my God. That was an iconic opening. I don't have anything for Rocket Man.
Well, you could write something similar.
Yeah.
Rockets are...
Oh, I've got one.
Yeah, okay.
And then Texas. Okay. But boy...
The Magic, back-to-back incredible games. Some of their best games I've seen. Just like from a start to end, just an absolute pleasure to watch.
Wow.
Passing the ball. I will say one noteworthy thing. Fournier's been out.
Wow. Isn't that interesting?
A lot better movement.
He's been missing for 3 games this season. The first one was when we bet the Lakers in Los Angeles.
And on the podcast, we discussed maybe it was better to not have him.
It was incredible. The last 2 games, one was against Minnesota. In Minnesota, okay, Minnesota, not the best team, but coming off 2 good wins, so they were, you know, they were riding high. We blew them out. Like, we played incredible, unreal game. And then the Houston Rockets in Houston. It only finished a 20-point blowout, but did you watch it?
I did, yeah. It was
more like a 30-point blowout most of the way.
Oh, you guys killed them.
Unreal.
But like most people were commenting more on that was a sign of the Rockets falling apart, which we'll get to.
Yeah, but it's easy for people to do that because one team's famous and got stars.
But also because
I agree with Paul on this one. I think
I don't like it how people do that because one team's got the stars, but it's like...
No, but the Rockets also have come off losses to the Hornets and the Knicks.
They lost to the Hornets without Westbrook. They were full strength for us, and Westbrook had just rested a game.
I feel like this is really getting into Rocket Man territory.
Well, I almost thought personally,
more like Russell rest.
I assumed we might do a collaboration.
Yeah, that's what I would like to.
So I thought Magic Mayhem could maybe feature Rocket Man this week. JT,
you're bored with that?
Does that mean I should pack?
Pre-flight.
I didn't know the Sting was gonna play.
0 hour, 9 a.m.
It's a bit of a sample there.
I actually requested funeral music.
Oh, I forgot to get that.
But anyway, here's my line. Houston, we have a problem.
That is good. is good.
I love that my offer before was Rockets. The Rockets are crashing in in Texas.
Yeah.
But there is a very famous line.
Now, I agree with Paul. So the Magic, one other note on Fournier. Have you noticed Markel Fultz's box score since Fournier's been out?
And
points
in the
machine.
He was incredible against the Lakers. He's unreal when Fournier's out.
It's because with Fournier there, it's all it is him passing off so that Fournier can do a pick and roll, which is effective with Vooch, but then he just runs to the corner.
Yeah.
Anyway, if we don't need to... Anyway, just one...
All Magic fans agree Fournier needs to go, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty down and out about the Rockets, I've got to admit, which is why I've requested this segment before the collab would have been called Death of a Rocket Man.
Wow.
But then one thing cheered me up, and I searched for Dan Antoni comments Magic. And these were his... Oh, no. Oh, is it in the dock?
It's another buggy app.
His dock is stuffed up.
Now, there's a quote in the
app. Time for a bit more music.
No, don't play music.
Yeah. No, more music. I'm missing time.
Don't play music.
I miss my wife.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
Can we just say, I don't have headphones. So,
it's lonely out in space.
We don't have headphones, but are you just playing Elton John?
Yeah.
Why did I make Stings if we were legally just allowed to play
I don't know if we are legally.
We're
going to
talk about the song
afterwards.
We're going to
talk about it. What a song by Elton
Great
John.
Great song. Because I like the concept that the Rocket Man song plays again as soon as Rocket Man is in a good segment again. So I'm always fighting the clock. But here's Dan Antonio's comment. There's no swagger. We're passing up threes. We're driving in because we missed so many threes. Now everybody says drive. Well, that's what they did. They stay inside. And you've got 25 turnovers. That's what most people don't understand. We need to take shots. We need to take the threes. If we miss it, so be it. But we need to play the way we play. Dan Antoni, FTW.
What does FTW mean? Fuck the world.
Yeah.
No. Is that what it means?
Yeah,
for the win. It means for the win.
No, it means fuck the world.
It means
it's
for the
so
win.
It's so confusing, the FDWA. It's
but
a
it's
big
like
problem.
It's like the that sign, which is like the 2 fingers up sign.
People can't see that.
I'm saying describing it. You know how you do the fingers and then you get 2 fingers like that? Or like your index and your middle, and it's like, I would say it's FU.
Celebrating a three.
When I was a kid, I thought that was FU.
Yeah, it was.
That's fuck you. But then I saw Shaq do it, and he was like, victory. So I was confused about that.
Was he doing 2 championships?
Yeah, no, he was like V for victory.
Like, they do that at, kind of, they usually do it facing the other way, but
at USC, the University of Southern California, in Los Angeles. They do that victory, fight on for victory.
So just to go back to that D'Antoni quote, because it's weird that a coach would say, people don't understand it. And as a coach, that's such a good thing to say normally, because you say, people don't understand it, and you're like, oh shit, yeah, the NBA is incredibly complicated. We don't understand why the Lakers play Rondo over Caruso, even though everyone on the internet thinks Caruso is better than Rondo at distributing. Anyway, but obviously the coach knows better than us, some idiots on the street. In this case, though, D'Antoni is saying, people don't understand it. We need to just jack up every three we get. But people do understand that. It's a very simple concept.
But he's not saying it to us. That's directly to his players.
Well, shots fired.
That's flaming his own squad, saying, basically, people said you shouldn't take threes, so you drove, and you're a complete disaster.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is quite amazing, eh? Because he's doing this crazy plan, and his own players are losing confidence in it. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. And the first, here's a stat. You know I'm a massive stat man.
Mate, smash me with the stat, and then I'll play a bit of more.
And actually, that could be a great segment to the tune of
Scatman
John. I'm a stat man.
That'd be a great segment, man. Well, as soon as someone on the show gets a stat.
Stats man's world. Okay. The Rockets defense, in the first 10 games they played in the new small lineup, 7th best defense in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. In the 4 games up until the Magic, 25th.
Ooh.
Something's not working. And I, no disrespect to the Magic, Knicks, and Hornets, not great offenses.
Bombshell.
Yeah. I'm a rocket man. Rocket
man. Burning out his fuse, I'm very wrong.
Why are you talking over it?
I can't hear. I don't have headphones.
You're the one who's supposed to bring your own headphones.
I bring them, but they don't plug into your
adapter.
So should I put my hand... Oh, not okay. like that. I could put my hands out and then bring them in as I think this thing's ending.
No, okay. No, the point is, just you just did a great stat there. But do you think, though, the reason the defense is so bad is because teams have figured out, just crash the boards against them, they're all 4 foot tall, and you're going to get rebounds and get second chance opportunities?
Nah, I think it's attitude. Ooh. I think they're not following the game plan. They don't believe in it.
But that you kind of contradict yourself, because D'Antoni is saying they're not playing the offense I want, and you're saying that the defense has fallen apart.
I'm saying that's permeating the whole team.
Ooh.
It's attitude.
I will say this.
Hello. Please say something.
I realized I didn't really have anything to say. I wanted to say something.
I have an interesting point. That when the Rockets did get into the... Paul had nothing to say. He literally said,
I
will say this in pause.
No, I just wanted to say, against the Magic, there were times, like one time Russell Westbrook did a turn through an intercept and then would pretend he got hit, like hurt his head and wouldn't run back. And, you know, and then the next play, he came down, he got badly blocked out of bounds, like really badly swatted. And then he's complaining to the ref about, he was like saying, no. Actually, this play, he went down, he missed a layup, wide open. He kind of tried to dunk it, tried to lay it in, missed it, and it was quite embarrassing. And then he was like complaining to the ref about getting hit in the head on the one before, and it was like had brain damaged him or something. But just
ladies and gentlemen, we have made it 38 minutes through the podcast, and we've gone to the bit where Paul Williams somehow ropes the podcast back to hating on Russell Westbrook.
No,
I didn't know where it was going to come from this
play
week.
By play
he,
hate.
He caught me off guard. I'm going to be honest.
I want to say James Harden, because
every podcast,
luckily in a 30-point blowout, it's fair to criticize Harden, because it's not just like I'm not just salty that he beat the Magic.
He lost to the Magic.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So now I can fairly say, it's bad to watch, man. It's so bad to watch. Him drawing fouls.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, complaining on legitimate fouls, when it's like you can't ever complain on a foul call. If you're going to just dribble in and throw the ball up wildly while jumping into some guy who's just playing legal D.
No, but that's a legitimate foul, though. So if he's complaining like something because he's called a foul when it's not, that's okay. Like, if anything, he should complain because he obviously knows fouls so well.
Wow.
Nah, he can't. He can never complain. You've lost the right to complain when your game is milking fouls. And then free throws, when we're shooting free throws and he's thrusting his body while they shoot to try, tick him up.
Yeah,
too. And then
much
if
thrusting.
He does it again, eject him from the game. It's embarrassing. He's a joke. He's not a joke.
Paul, you're spiraling, mate. You're spiraling.
Nah, kill him.
Come out.
Kill him.
Last week, Paul, you passionately talked about you came out with a huge in Magic Mayhem, because we're still in Magic Mayhem as well. Rocket Man Magic Mayhem Fusion collab.
you came up with a huge call. You said you're annoyed that when James Harden crosses someone up and hits a three, it's all over the front page of Reddit and Twitter.
When he pushes them over.
I kind of agree they're kind of a bit bullshit, but, you know, the stupid House of Highlights, the worst Instagram account in the world, just loves it and thinks it's the best thing ever because they're just going to hype stuff up all the time. You said that Markelle Fultz crossed up CJ McCollum, and you're like, it was just as good, if not better. And how come that never makes the front page of Reddit?
Yeah,
I watched it, and it was like, it was just a sad video of a guy hurting his leg. And Fultz did nothing.
He changed direction, and he went back.
Very subtly. Like, Fultz was surprised the defender fell over.
I think if you go back and listen to that podcast, I did point out it was more of a change of direction than a dribble move.
But that's better than tripping a guy or pushing him.
Yeah, but it's still not worth the front page.
He nearly broke his knee.
Yeah. If Christian Cullen had done that, we'd be watching on YouTube.
But when he broke... Yeah, okay, anyway. Shout out to
and
Rocket
then he hit
Man.
The shot.
Just to unwind Rocket Man a little bit, when the Rockets went small ball, not only did they win every game, but the players were all in. Like, the players were doing Instagram memes about it, living the dream, and getting the results. Why do you think they've all of a sudden just given up on the coach?
I think Harden's, like, not happy with it.
Oh, yeah.
And he's, I think all the shots are firing at Harden.
The thing about Harden is when he scores 50 points a game, it looks like he's not trying and he's just lazy and he is expressionless. And when he scores 25 points on terrible efficiency, he also looks like he doesn't care, doesn't try. And maybe it's just that Harden is just can't shoot at the moment, and which is showing in his procedure. Same with Doncic a little bit. Like, these players who are just like red hot and we now think in our mind are dominators every game are going through a bit of a rough spell. And the Rockets have been Westbrook's team for the last couple of months almost. Maybe it's just if Harden doesn't play to like a MVP level, they're going to struggle just because that's the way the team's constructed, you know?
Yeah, I was just trying to work backwards off D'Antoni's comments, who he could be aiming them for.
You were just trying to link it together. Yeah. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I don't want to be so critical.
And thank you, Paul, for inviting me into Mayhem.
That's fine. I just want to briefly talk about one of the craziest games I've seen in a long time.
The Mayhem?
No, Magic Heat. Florida rivalry.
Oh, what a game.
Did you either watch it?
No, I was just trying to help you out, but I saw Terrence Ross's stat line and I was like, what happened there?
Here's how the game went. The Miami Heat give the ball to Duncan Robinson. He shoots the three and just never misses. It was unreal. He shot 9 of 12 from three-pointers. that was a weird way to say it. But 27 points. 9 of 12. That's kind of crazy.
Well, Terrence Ross made 8 threes in
the game. That's
the
thing.
As well.
Then Terrence Ross started jacking threes. I've never seen anything like he hit 8 out of 10. Crazy.
So what are you saying? Is this in the fourth quarter or is this just throughout the game? Or what are you saying? Why is it so amazing?
Well, it was just crazy to see people shoot that well. So their team shot 50% from three, which is impressive,
it's,
right?
It's impressive, yeah, it's good.
50% on 44 threes, and we lost by 3. So I was like, I'd never seen a team shoot that well, and the fact we lost by 3, I thought was a good effort.
Well, T Ross, what's his nickname? T Sizzle.
T Flight, or the Human Torch, T Flight 31.
T Flight 31.
He's changed his number though, so he's not 31 anymore.
Oh no!
Does his nickname change accordingly?
To be fair, the 31 added nothing to that nickname, and some would say it massively detracted from the nickname.
Well, it's like flight number, T Flight.
Oh, I get it.
T-Flight 31. But he's changed his number to 8.
It's, wait.
I don't get it.
Flight number 31. Yeah, it's...
Like in New Zealand, 32, whatever. Yeah. London, right?
Yeah.
No, it works. But the Human Torch has kind of taken over as his main...
Human Torch is quite a good nickname, I got to admit. Although
in Magic News today on Instagram, Jonathan Isaac became a minister. I guess ordained. Ordained as a minister.
That surely makes him player of the week.
Do you think he's the tallest ordained minister in America?
Gotta be.
He's only 6'10". I would think he'd be up there.
6'10" is very... Okay, for a Barcelona player, middle of the pack. For a... not surprising, above middle.
Yeah.
For a normal civilian, unbelievable. I'm a freak in normal society, and I'm not even 6'5".
Worldwide wouldn't be the tallest minister, though. Surely.
No,
in the whole world.
No one's measuring and recording a database of ministerial heights.
I reckon if Paul Googles it, if he Googles tallest minister in the world, there'll be an answer.
Wow. Well, I could do that.
Player
right
of the week is actually quite a tough one.
Just give it.
I'm giving a joint effort.
It's a stupid pointless
Terrence
award.
Ross.
You gave it 1 week. You gave it to a guy who didn't even play, and he got the award because he didn't play.
I stand by Wesley. I wonder that was.
It was a quality win.
I'm giving it to. It's a joint between The Human Torch, T-Flight 31, the artist formerly known as T-Flight 31, Markel Fultz,
yeah,
who's been balling out.
Cosign.
And shout out Jonathan Isaac for becoming a minister, being ordained. I don't know if you'd say ordained.
Okay. No, just to go back to T-Ross for a second, because we jump around so much on this podcast. He made 8 threes. His stat line was 35 points, nice, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 fouls, 0 turnovers. What stat line is this? Unbelievable.
Yeah, know your lane.
Flame on.
Yeah.
That is his role, though, is come in,
flame,
get the ball, and flame on. He jacks it, and every time he shoots it, I'm just like, it's going in. If it misses, you're shocked. He's a joy to watch.
No, but except for when he's not hitting his shots, in which case
he got a technical
thing
against the Rockets, which I love. Shows a bit of fire.
I was going to say not against the Heat because it would have shown up on the stat sheet.
No, he got called for a 3-point foul.
My other weird observation is I wanted to see a little bit of the Magic beating the Heat, the Rockets, because like, what happened there? And annoyingly, the NBA has decided to market itself to the world via a YouTube channel where they put up these weird 1.5-minute highlights of games, which really don't tell you anything. And a very weirdly, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Nah.
I used to watch them all the time before, like, I had NBA League Pass. And like, if you just want to see what happened in the game, it basically just shows you the big dunks and not much else. It's 1.5 minutes long. Mm. It might show the tipped ball at the start or like LeBron James throwing his chalk in the air. It gives you no information. It's like a really weird thing. And they put them on YouTube, and I'm like, I don't know what this is doing or what this is helping, because it doesn't give an accurate. It tells you nothing about the game really, except for there was a couple of good dunks and the game started and the players. That's what they looked like. But they're commentated by the weirdest people. And like me and Paul, back in the day, were always a huge fan of NBA.com updates from a man whose name is Iron Eagle. Like iron, like steel. It's actually not spelled that way, but it's pronounced that way. And Eagle, just what a name. And turns out he's actually a legendary NBA commentator, and also he commentates NFL as well. He's like a legendary broadcaster. But and then a few years ago, it became a meme when they got this guy who had just the most enthusiastic voice of all time. It was kind of like a white guy, like kind of racistly impersonating like an enthusiastic black guy.
Ugh.
Who would be like, it wasn't too bad, but it was like, that's just how I describe it. Like, it wasn't like overtly racist, but it was just like, what, is that a white guy doing a really weird voice?
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about, Paul, eh? It was that guy who was like, and now it's the Lakers taking on, that he just had this really gravelly, like overly enthusiastic, another duck.
Very
dunk
loud.
For the king, LeBron James.
That sounds like more really like a weird 1920s like circus director.
Well, I'm trying not to do it racist
as well. Good decision.
But nah, so the guy they've got now, this is NBA.com, the official broadcaster of the NBA, the company itself. He pronounces the names of the players wrong.
Oh, no.
And so in that video, he keeps on calling him Nikola Vucevic. And I was like, how? Everyone knows his name's Vucevic.
Or are we wrong?
Nah.
No. Yeah, good point.
No, the Magic commentators know.
And I think they just outsource it to just like a random, like Turner Sports or something who's just doing a bad
job. That's not the guy that does
weird,
like the top 10.
Well, yeah, he probably does that sometimes because the top 10 guy's terrible. That enthusiastic guy is like, it's the top 10, please.
I remember
he does it sometimes too. It's so
weird. A few years, about 4 years ago, I remember being shocked when I was listening and they were talking about Tobias Harris did a dunk. It was like a top 10. And they were like, Tobias, get in Fionke with it. And I was like, wow, Arrested Development. And anyway, the other day, I'm assuming it was the same guy. He did it again. I can't remember what it was I was watching.
It's
but he was
such
like,
an
Tobias,
obscure
get
joke
in Fionke. Yeah. I loved it, though.
It is hard to commentate a top 10, but it's just think of how many good announcers and broadcasters there are out there. NBA, if you're listening, we would love to do it. We'd do a great job. We'd write some puns.
Mm.
It'd be fun. Okay, is that the end of Magic Mayhem?
Yeah, the other one, that's the end of it.
Great segment, Paul.
Yeah, we said some more, and great Rocket Man as well. It's all going good. I think we're just about there at time. Funeral for a Rocket Man. They've been rested in peace. I just to add to the Rocket Man, something that I thought was interesting is that I know Westbrook would be resting, but James Harden did play 45 minutes in a loss to the Charlotte Hornets. Now, it's depressing that the Rockets are losing, and maybe D'Antoni was like, we need this win, so we're going for it. But for years, and I said this when I compared him to Marcelo Bielsa from Leeds, who's got the same criticism, the soccer coach, D'Antoni for years has been criticized. Like, it's probably on Reddit now. People are blaming D'Antoni again for Kobe Bryant's Achilles injury when he coached the Lakers for years. Just like Tom Thibodeau as well. It's like, why don't they learn? You've got to rest your players. You can't just Lowell ding them into the ground and run them until they can't run no more. And it's just crazy that, like, no one, like, he never logs onto the internet and just sees what people are saying about him and thinks, hey, maybe there is a point where you look at the way the Bucks are resting Giannis or the way Kawhi Leonard takes time out. Like, this is what the NBA is doing now. Why is James Harden not doing that? Especially when they're famous for losing, for being too tired in the finals or playoffs every bloody year. Shocking.
So I agree with you in theory. I don't agree that you should take advice that D'Antoni should be basing all his decisions on what people say.
No. I never said that. You just took me out of context. That was slander.
I will say it sounds like you said that.
Yeah.
No. What I mean is that people on the internet get an obvious theory, which does seem right?
Yeah.
It's well known that the Rockets are tired when they get in. And now with small ball, there's going to be special emphasis on that because how tiring that is, having to box out 7-footers for a whole game when you're not used to that.
Yeah.
Right? And just bumping and grinding inside.
Don't say bumping and grinding.
Bumping and grinding, that's what you call it?
Definitely not.
No, bumping and grinding is...
Bumping and grinding is an R&B term. Is it really sexual? You guys like I'm saying something real weird.
It's real sexual.
It's also an R. Kelly song.
Yeah, okay.
It's like what you do, it's like dance floor bumping and grinding.
Grinding, yeah, I don't think that's that bad, is it?
No, you don't say, nah. You don't say that in the NBA, nah.
Bumping and grinding, what are you saying? Like,
banging. Grinding bodies.
Banging bodies. Which is an R. Kelly song too.
Is it?
Banging? Yeah. Banging bodies.
Banging in the paint. Banging generally.
What other songs does he have?
Grinding.
Splashing threes. doing layups.
These all sound real sexual when you put them in the context of
7 seconds or less.
That was a high quality joke. We should almost end the podcast on that.
I also, before we leave Magic Mayhem.
I thought we were well out.
No, we're still in it technically. I need to shout out my man. Firstly, my man DJ Augustine for finally coming back from injury and exploding on the Rockets. But Michael Carter-Williams' revenge game. Oh, he played for the Rockets. I'm pretty sure they let him go. They cut him. He came out 16 points, 3 assists, a steal, a block. And to the fans who were chanting airball after he airballed 2 threes, you're down 30. Respect the man. Zip it.
That is quite funny that he airballed 2 threes. Like, airball 1 3, we all do it.
Yeah, the second one was crazy as well. It was like, he was marked. It was like quite deep, maybe off the dribble. It was real crazy.
And
the commentators were like, straight up, that's a real bad shot.
Yeah.
Of all the players in the NBA, and I actually don't mind him as a player, but I've got the least confidence in his jumper.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. But what I have a lot of confidence in is his heart. plays with so much heart. I love him.
Guys, it's been a wonderful podcast. We've had a great time. I'll save my guy I've been thinking for next week because we're at time.
I'll save my movie magic. I had a really good
one. No, you did not.
I did.
Hey, we should all watch the Starbury doco that KD's produced.
What?
It's Kid from Coney Island, Stephen Marbury.
Yeah, we know Stephen Marbury.
Oh, right.
Stephen. Is it Stephen? Or was it
Stephen? Maybe it's
Stephen.
Hey, suggest we get together for a movie party because I'm keen for that.
Yeah, let's watch it.
I'm going away this weekend. But
I don't know when it's out either.
Is it going to be at the movies?
No, I don't know.
Next week you'll bring in some your sources, mate. Okay. Thank you for everyone who listened. We love you from the bottom of our hearts. I've been Guy Williams.
I don't do that.
I've been JT, Death of a Rocket Man.
Catch you later. Goodbye, my friend. Never something to tell you here.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.